Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We welcome back Tony Yang to answer your computer questions today. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at the State University of New York at Albany. His company began as a hobby in college and it quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony has been managing networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one, ranging from a few computers to many hundreds. It's always nice to have Tony Yang on the program. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Ray, thank you. Good to be back.
And if you want to join the conversation, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can post your comments on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You'll see a Vox Pop post there, or you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or email voxpop@wamc.org. That's voxpop@wamc.org if you want to email. But once again, the number is 1-800-348-2551. So as I mentioned in the introduction here, your company manages the computer network here at WAMC.
Yes.
And my particular desktop that I've been using for many years was on Windows XP until last
right.
week. And then
yes.
one of your crew came in and said, oh, we got your new computer ready to go. So now I'm on Windows 7.
Yep.
And now, if I had jumped from Windows 7 to Windows XP, I would have been in Wonderland. But in the intervening time, all these years now, I've had Windows 8 on a tablet at home, and I have Windows 10 on my new computer at home, which I got about 6 months ago. And so I find looking at this evolution from Windows 10, looking at that evolution backwards, now that I'm using Windows 7 here,
right.
is very interesting. Windows 7's not bad.
Windows 7 is actually a very, very good operating system.
Yeah.
That is probably about, that accounts for about 90%, 90 plus percent of all the PCs that we service out there, among the thousands. It is still the corporate desktop standard.
I mean, I think I like it better than Windows 8.
Yep.
But I think I like Windows 10. I got to say, I'm quite partial to it now. I didn't think I would be because I loved Windows XP. It
yep.
was my favorite. But Windows 10 is pretty good.
Windows 10 is pretty good. The 8.1 didn't work out so well.
Yeah.
So 10, if you jump right into 10 without going through 7, it's not as painful. It's not as painful. 8 didn't have a start menu, but you got that back in Windows 10.
Which so is nice.
It feels somewhat like the old desktop
yeah,
structure.
It's not quite as much of a shock.
Right.
So you had mentioned to me off mic before we started that there are some issues that you're noticing with Windows 10 that weren't readily apparent in the beginning.
Right. Actually, this goes back to the last show that we did here. You know, I have warned some of the callers about making sure that the softwares that they run and the devices that they have are compatible with
right.
Windows 10.
Yeah.
Well, now that Windows 10 has been out there for a while, we have seen firsthand issues with devices not running on Windows 10. We have a printer, for example, at the office that just won't run.
Is it just a software?
It's a software.
Can you get a driver that'll work it?
We're hoping that eventually it will come out with a drive, an updated driver, but we haven't received it yet.
Have Peter Mui do it for you.
That's right. Have him program
have one up. Yeah, come on.
And then send it back to the manufacturer.
Why do you pay these people?
That's right. The other problem that I've seen personally on my Windows 10 machine is Firefox, which is a very, very popular internet browser.
Yeah.
If you go on, if you use Firefox on Windows 10 and go on to certain secure sites, so HTTPS sites, it won't process the software coding that's on the sites. So I have problems going through the online banking, for example, that I do. I have no problems with that on Windows 7 or 8, but on Windows 10,
well, that's
in combination
a Firefox
with
problem,
Firefox,
right?
That's what they're saying, but you don't see that problem on the other operating systems. It's just Windows 10. So there's got to be I haven't spent enough time looking into it yet, but the problem is there. I don't know what the details are yet, but I will look into it.
But I mean, in theory, Firefox will say, okay, here's our latest version, and it'll all be fixed, right?
I have the latest version, and it's not fixed. What's pretty strange is there seems to be a battle between Firefox and Microsoft.
Ah, there's the rub.
Right, because Windows 10 is just Windows 10, and that's the, you know, that's what the Microsoft puts out. Firefox, if you go on to, if you look at the error code that comes up and search on their tech support site, it tells you how to fix it. But there isn't a patch coming out. It's blaming the problem on Windows 10.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
So there seems to be a battle going up, going on between between Firefox and Windows 10.
Why don't you just use Chrome?
Chrome is another choice. We don't use Chrome all that much. Chrome seems to work a little better. But you know what's strange is it's difficult to download Chrome on Windows 10.
Is it?
There's been several times where I try to download it, and it's given me all kinds of different errors through the Microsoft Edge browser.
Oh, very interesting.
Because that's the only browser that's built in. It's the only thing you can use. And if that's having a problem getting other browsers to go on your system, it's...
Well, I guess I don't have that problem. My computer started with Windows 8, right, and I had Chrome, and then I did the upgrade, and Chrome is working fine.
Yeah, I had it. In fact, just a couple of days ago, I reinstalled Windows 10 thinking that there might be some other problem on there. So a brand new, fresh install, and I had trouble downloading Chrome.
Huh. Well, this is all very interesting. There's a backstory here that we don't know about. Mm. All right, before we get to the phones, at 1-800-348-2551, that's 1-800-348-2551. Hang in there, Dina. You'll be first. Here's a couple of quick ones via email. This is from Ryan. Tony, what's the deal with Windows 10? Is it safe to install yet? Has it had any major updates, patches, or service packs? We're talking all about this.
Yes.
Is it wise to install a new operating system before it has been tested in the public for a sufficient amount of time? Is it better than Windows 7? And, well, we've been discussing this, so go ahead.
Right. Okay, so hi, Ryan. The Windows 7 is, in my opinion, still a more stable and a more compatible, generally, operating system than Windows 10. Windows 10 is so new that I wouldn't recommend any companies or professional users to be upgrading to Windows 10. Like what we just talked about, Ray, I've seen device problems on it, software issues on it. Now, these may not be problems with Windows 10 natively, but the softwares that you can purchase out there and devices that you can purchase out there may have problems running on Windows 10.
Mm.
So they just these manufacturers would just they need time to get their software updated so that it works well on Windows 10. Our general advice for many, many years now is that you wait until the first service, the major service pack comes out. And that hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
There has been kind of daily security patches that they release, but nothing major.
Okay.
So our advice has always been for many, many years now, for the last few versions of Windows, is to wait until Service Pack 1 comes out, and that seems to really fix a lot of problems.
All right, let's go over to Dina in Newburgh. Dina, you're first. Thanks for waiting.
Good afternoon. Hello, Ray and Tony. Hello. I have a question about my iPhone 5. Can you take that?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. I have restriction on my iPhone. I don't remember enabling it, and I was trying to do something in my calendars, and I put my regular code in, but then it asked for a passcode, and I don't know what it is, and how can I undo this, if possible?
This is specifically for your calendar or for the entire phone, Dina?
I'm only having problems with the calendar. I cannot add new events, and I cannot edit existing events.
Interesting.
So, when I try to go into troubleshoot and to reset it, it's asking for a passcode. It says restrictions are on. I have no idea. No reason to put restrictions on my phone.
Okay, I'm thinking there is a default setting that comes out of the company that if you haven't put one in, it's probably that default setting, what, 0000 or something?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dina, you got me. Ray knows more about this than I do.
Okay.
I know how to disable passwords on the entire phone itself, but not specifically for the calendar. Most of our clients use Outlook, and it's all synced through the Microsoft Active Sync. So I don't know.
I think it's tied to the overall passcode. In other words, like if you give your kid a phone and you put settings on it that you don't want that kid to touch, there is a general four-digit passcode.
That's right. It makes you create one in the beginning if you haven't set one up yet.
Sure. I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I have no reason to put restrictions on my phone. I'm the only one who's using it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. You got me, Dina. I will look it up for you.
Yeah, don't try too many times, Dina, because it'll lock your phone.
That's right, and then it takes an hour, a couple of hours to get back into it.
Well, wonderful.
Good luck.
I'll try the zero. Thanks so much.
Yeah, well, good luck. And let us know how you did next month. And let's take a break here. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here. It's the Computer Show. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net. The Whistling Kettle, featuring Tea of the Month Clubs, Tea Discovery, Wellness Tea, Herbal and Caffeine-Free Tea, and more. Thewhistlingkettle.com for catalog and online ordering. Unusual Wedding Rings and More, specializing in wedding and engagement rings and custom designs. Open Tuesday through Saturday in downtown Pittsfield and Midtown New York by appointment. UnusualWeddingRings.com. De Blasis Chamber Music Series, presenting its 83rd season with three Sunday afternoon concerts through November 22nd at The Hyde, Glens Falls, New York. DeBlasis-Chamber-Music.org. And Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. AGStewardship.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551 is the number, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org, or go to Facebook, WAMC Radio, and this one came in from Facebook, Tony Yang. This is from Elaine on Facebook. What do you know about billisearch.net, which opens automatically in a new tab when I open the Chrome browser? A Google search shows that it is a virus and complicated to eradicate. Yes, I use Kaspersky Total Security and thought that by using the trusted applications mode with Kaspersky, BillaSearch would be rejected, but it has had no effect. Can you illuminate? That's from Elaine.
Okay, so most of these things that pop up on your browser when you haven't clicked on anything is a form of malware.
Right.
So what happens is after your computer gets infected, It is very difficult to clean your PC out 100%. So, you know, it's not surprising that your antivirus and anti-malware software isn't removing or eliminating all of the malware on there. My advice would be to perhaps, if it's bothering you that much, to take it to a computer shop and have them take the drive out and scan it and clean it all out. That's the best way to do it. Now, on the other hand, the thing that you may want to look into is to go into the software add and remove and see if it's a software that's actually installed in your system. Sometimes you can just uninstall it and remove that off the panel.
And then, of course, and I've done that. I think there was one called OK Freedom, which kept – it didn't actually – pop up once, but it came up in some scans as a program. So I uninstalled the program, and there still must be remnants in the registry because it'll pop up as a program. It has caused me no problem at all. So if you're good and you're feeling lucky, I suppose you could go into the registry and remove all references to it. Good luck with that, though.
That's right. You know, I don't usually recommend that. Registry
is
a pretty touchy thing sometimes.
Yeah.
I did want to mention this. When you install a browser or any type, it could be Firefox, Google, and you know, even Safari sometimes. When you're doing the actual install, there are options that that are automatically checked for you.
Yeah.
Which installs additional two
You're
bars.
Right. And you got to watch that. Don't just go, yes, next, next, next,
that's
next,
right.
next. Yes.
And that's what you got to watch out for, because sometimes you're installing things by clicking through these buttons so quickly that
yeah.
you don't realize you're putting them on your computer.
And a lot of them can be so-called grayware, where they're not exactly horrible, but they're...
That's right. I was just getting there. They're fairly benign. So what you might want to do is just go into the control panel, add and remove software, and see if it's in there. If it's in there, uninstall it, and that should get it cleaned out.
All right. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Tony Yang every month or so on our computer show. Let's go to Barry in Scotia. Barry.
Hi. I had a question, which I'll ask you, and then I'll ask you one more. You could pick which one. I do a lot of word processing, and I just got Windows 10 with a new version of Word, and I find that I can't get the emoticons by hitting the colon and the parentheses. So one question is, how do I get emoticons turned on, and can I reverse letters on my word processor? The second question is, can I unload or undo the Windows 10 that came with this and put Windows 7 on there?
That's a good question.
So you got Windows 10 on there, and you're thinking that...
I heard you say. It's inclined me to say, I know that Windows, all Microsoft stuff has got problems with it, and I liked XP too. I transferred from XP, and you know my son or whoever recommended I should go straight to get the latest system, but I'm wondering now if I shouldn't be getting Windows 7, I mean.
You know, if you're just doing, Barry, if you're just doing word processing and you have the latest version of Microsoft Word, that's going to work just fine with Windows 10.
No problem. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And Microsoft is very, very good about that, and that is to update their software to be fully compatible with the newest operating system. You know, Ray and I were really talking about other manufacturers out there that haven't quite caught up yet, or there are bugs on the updated software that they haven't resolved yet.
Right, and I have one software that will not fire on Windows 10. I have to buy a new version of the software. That's the only thing that'll...
I'm okay with that. What about reversing letters and getting the emoticons to work on this word processor?
Yeah, you know, so you have the latest version of Microsoft Word, and I'm sorry. What were the two issues that you have with that?
Well, I like doing various things with the letters. I'd like to be able to reverse the letters, print them backwards, which I don't know how to do at all. And the emoticon, well, you hit a colon and a parenthesis, you get the smiley face or the gloomy face at the very least. And when I do that on this one, nothing. It doesn't translate automatically into a smiley face or a gloomy face.
Oh boy.
So I don't know. Maybe there's some option to turn it on, or is it?
Or is that another piece of software? I never had that on XP. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, usually.
Oh, I've done it. Yeah, I did it. I had an older word processor, but I did it. Yeah.
That's right. You must have disabled it at some point in the somewhere along the line. It must have been disabled, because usually that feature is turned on automatically.
Isn't there a keyboard management option somewhere in there?
Yeah, you could do that with some keyboards out there as well.
This is a new word.
Right, this is the newest version of Word.
I got a new word with it. Yeah, right.
You have 2013 or 2016? Or do you have Office?
Oh, no, I'm not sure. My son may have given me an older version of Word. Whichever it is, it's not the one I had on my other computer.
Ah, okay.
He went and downloaded it. I think he got a free version. I hate to say it. He went and downloaded it.
Aha,
I see. Thief. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that should work anyways. You really shouldn't have a problem with that. Almost all functions now in Word is menu-driven. So it's got to be somewhere on the menu to enable
that. Which menu would he be looking for, on this control panel or management?
This wouldn't be in the control panel. This would be inside the Word software itself.
Okay.
I am thinking that you will want to look under Preferences, or the properties menu in Word.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I can't tell you exactly what it is, but this is a function that's inside Word itself. It has nothing to do with the operating system.
It really doesn't come up all that often, this whole letters backwards. Barry, what are you doing that requires this?
Well, I express myself inventively. I have other things I like to do. I like, when I have things in a column, I like to list them vertically and have the sentence go on below the, you know, have stack things vertically as you do when you write math.
Oh.
So I have a lot of ideas like that. But the reverse lettering is one of the things I'd like to be able to do.
Well, good luck. Let us know how you did. Thanks for the call. 1-800-348-2551.
Let's go to Belinda in Kingston. Hello, Belinda. Do you like backwards letters?
No.
Well, you're on anyway.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. So I had an IT person install, I have a Mac, and they installed not Capitan, the one before that, Yosemite operating system.
Yeah.
And I had Maverick. And every time it'll be fine for a week or two, and then all of a sudden it'll be just start crashing when I'm on the internet, and it'll crash like 3 or 4 times in a row, and the computer will start up again, and it'll open back to where I was when it crashed, and then it asks if I want to send a report to Apple, and I do, and then I read the report that comes back to me, and it always says kernel. KERNAL, failure. And I'm wondering what kernel failure is and what I can do to remedy this problem.
Okay. So the kernel is, that essentially is the general term for the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
So the new update that you, the new OS that you put on your Mac is not liking something on the operating system level. And that's when you get the kernel error. It is very, very general. There's no specific place I can point you to resolve that. I am thinking that in general, it's probably a driver problem, just like Microsoft systems. It's like Windows 10. When you put Windows 10 on a computer, sometimes the old drivers just doesn't work well.
Yeah.
And you have a similar problem on your Mac.
I was rooting around. Can I tell you what I found and what the actual problem might be? And I tried to fix it, but it didn't work. I have a bunch of software for, sophisticated software for, like 3D modeling and stuff. And they all are older. It's older software that runs on JavaScript.
Yeah.
And so JavaScript is on my computer twice because I went to Java website, and they said you should upgrade to the latest Java. Both within the software that uses Javaware, and also in the operating system. And I tried to upgrade both versions to the latest Java release, and it wouldn't do it. So I have like an old version of Java 6. And a newer, the latest version of Java, and so the software could be running, and it goes to Java to run like a 3D modeling render.
Yeah.
And it goes to it either goes to the new Java or the old Java, and then it crashes because it doesn't know which Java to go to.
Ah,
yeah, that's a very good point, actually, Belinda. Here's my recommendation: uninstall all versions of Java that you have on your computer,
okay,
and then download. Java actually produces an uninstall software. That's how complicated a problem can get sometimes. They have a software that actually wipes out all the little bits of it on your computer. I would download that, run the software, and then try to install the latest version of Java. Having multiple versions on there could very well create the problem that you're having.
Okay, so I think the old Java showed up in my utilities. I went to utilities, and that's where I saw it. And it even said, there was even a warning that said, you have an old version of Java and you need to update it, blah, blah, blah. So I guess I just go to utilities and then uninstall. I mean, because Java is like, it isn't like a software that runs by itself. It's kind of hidden in your computer.
It's an add-on.
But you recommend, Tony, to go and get the specific uninstall program.
That's right. The uninstall programs actually works pretty well.
And it'll get rid of all the little bits that may be left after you do an uninstall normal
way. That's right. It's a much cleaner way of going at it. So I would
see.
Give that a shot.
Okay, so where do I get this uninstall program? At Java?
Yep. You can go to the Java website and search on their site to locate the software.
Belinda, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest. Danny. Oh, Danny boy in Great Barrington.
Hey.
You're on.
Hello, Danny.
Hi. I have a little problem. I have Windows 10, and here's another one of your sad stories for Windows 10.
Okay.
I'm a writer of sorts, and I use WordPerfect. And for the last 2 days, for whatever reason, I'm unable to save anything.
Oh, boy.
Just will not save it. either save as on my stick or save in the program.
Huh.
I can't understand why.
But it was working. It was working at, in other words, you put Windows 10 on and it was working for a while.
Oh, yeah, for like 2-3 months.
Fascinating. What do you make of that, Tony?
You are running the latest version of WordPerfect?
It's WordPerfect. It's in the either in the computer or with Windows 10, the same thing. I didn't do anything extra. Let's put it that way.
Windows doesn't come with WordPerfect. You have to install WordPerfect.
Well, then that was in my computer. Then.
Okay.
I will go and get the latest version of WordPerfect off Crayal's website, and see if that will solve your problem. Because there are known issues with WordPerfect and Windows 10. It is actually very, very widespread all over the place.
Okay.
Going all the way through version 12 and probably even beyond that.
So try a fresh install, uninstall and a fresh install?
With the latest version of WordPerfect, yeah.
Okay.
Danny, I suspect you probably don't have the latest version. And if you do, uninstall it, clean it out, and then reinstall the WordPerfect software, and hopefully that will take care of your problem.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. This one came in via email. This is from another Dan, presumably. My new computer came preloaded with Windows 10, which included Microsoft Edge. When I try to download a podcast using either Edge or Google Chrome, all I get is pages of text rather than a usable file. I've since downloaded the newest version of Internet Explorer, and it downloads podcasts perfectly. Why, and what's the difference between Edge and Internet Explorer?
Okay, that's a great question, actually. Edge is the new Microsoft version of Internet Explorer.
Ah.
So Internet Explorer has so many problems and so many security issues that Microsoft decided to do away with it altogether. So
renaming it will sure solve all the problems.
That's right.
Great. Yeah, that's smart.
So what actually you're experiencing is the stuff that a lot of people are experiencing is that there are these websites out there that are not getting interpreted by the Edge browser correctly. So you see text instead of an actual graphical interface. So this is it's another one of the quirks in Windows 10 that has yet to be resolved.
So can you download Edge, or would you not recommend it?
Well, you can run Edge on the older operating system.
No, if you have Windows 10, let's say.
Now, I got to tell you, I haven't run Internet Explorer in Windows 10.
I don't
Windows
either.
10 comes
I use
with
Chrome.
Edge.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't even know that you could do that.
Oh, no, wait. Now, does it look just like... There have been a couple of times when I've clicked on a link in my email and the default is what I thought was Internet Explorer.
Oh, that's Edge.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
You're kidding me.
Internet Explorer is not built into Windows 10. It's called Microsoft Edge now. It looks just like Internet Explorer, but it's Microsoft Edge.
Well, I'll be dipped. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Anna in Cooperstown. Anna, you're on.
Yes, I just wanted to say that the woman that called, I don't know, like 2 or 3 people ago about her iPhone.
The restrictions on her iPhone, yeah.
Yeah, so if she reads at the top, it's probably asking for her Apple ID passcode, not her phone passcode.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Anna, thank you for shedding the light on that.
That might make sense. Thank you for the call.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. And actually, this one, this email came in from Michael on the same topic. The caller may need to do the following, according to Michael. Settings/general/restrictions/toggle-off restrictions or toggle off the calendar restrictions.
On the iPhone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so
well,
that's
thank
it.
You, Michael.
Very helpful listeners. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest. All right, tell you what, we have a break coming up in about a minute, so let's blast through another email. This one is from Mark. It says, hello to the computer expert. That's you.
Hi, Mark.
In the old days, companies like AOL and MSN used to mail CD-ROMs to you for internet access. I have an old desktop that had the old MSN software, Microsoft Network, from one of those disks. But when MSN upgraded to their current format, I lost all of the email that I used to have stored on my computer. MSN used to have an option for storing email on your machine instead of using their cloud storage. My emails disappeared after their upgrade. Do you have any idea how I can get them back or recover them? And that's from Mark, and you have 45 seconds until the break.
Mark, I don't have much information for you. I actually haven't even seen a piece of MSN software for many years. So I don't know what the newer software does. I'm sorry, Mark. I don't have an answer for you on that.
Now, I remember losing a really early version of Outlook Express and losing email and being able to recover it because there is a folder.
Okay. Yes. So that I can address. Whether you're using Outlook, your browser, any other.
We're going to get right back to this. Tony Yang is so anxious to answer the question that he wants to blow off the break. But I want to take the break because, you see, underwriting, it's part of the backbone of this enterprise we call WAMC. So take it away, Zach.
Support for WAMC comes from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. Destination Williamstown, a calendar of curated events in the Northern Berkshires, culture, college, cows, destinationwilliamstown.org. The 1850 House and Tavern, a historic boutique bed and breakfast on the banks of the Rondout River for weekend getaways, retreats, and weddings. Main Street, Rosendale, New York, the1850house.com. The Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org. And Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001. StonesoupConcrete.com and on Facebook.
Welcome back, boys and girls. It's Vox Pop. It's the computer show. Ray Graff here, and Tony Yang is our guest. And you had a eureka moment just now. What's up?
Yes. I was. Well, I'm glad that you point that out.
Okay. Those who just tuned in.
Okay.
Mark wrote in, and he's having issues. He had MSN, which is Microsoft Network. It goes back thousands of years.
Yep.
I think the Druids used it way back when. And he lost his email. They disappeared after he upgraded.
Right.
And you found out what?
Okay. So any email program that you use, whether it's Outlook, Pegasus Mail, Mailbird, any of the email client softwares, they always have a data file that these emails are stored in. So what I'm thinking is that the newer version of MSN uses a different format, so the older database is stored somewhere. So I don't think you've lost it all. I think
that'd be a .dat file.
I don't remember these days what the MSN databases are. If you were using Outlook, for example, it would be on a .pst file in most cases, but I don't know what it is in MSN. You can at least rest easy in knowing that it's in there somewhere. You just got to find it. And I wish the computer was here because I would do it, and I would try to locate that for you.
And cha-ching, you charge him some money, too. All right, let's go back to the phones, and Bob in Schenectady County. Bob, you're on. Hello, Bob.
Yes, I had a question. I have a proposition to get increase my warranty, I guess.
Yeah.
Warranty.
I just wonder if they think it's worthwhile.
Is this a warranty?
Warranty.
Is this a warranty on a new computer, Bob?
I have had the computer for about 5 months.
Yep.
Okay, so now you have an option to extend that warranty, and that's just a good general question. Is it worth it in your experience, Tony,
to go for the extended warranty. A lot of times people just blow it off, say, if it goes bad, I'll get a new one.
You know, warranties are great when things break, but there's a reason why these warranty companies are trying to sell you warranties because they make money on it. The failure rate is fairly low on new computers, and they're so inexpensive that we do not recommend buying extended warranties.
Okay.
We think it's a waste of money most of the time.
But he's fairly noncommittal, Bob, so your results may vary.
Let's just say I don't do it personally, ever.
Okay. All right, Bob. Well, we've left him dumbfounded. Let's move on. Melody in Buskirk, New York. Melody, you're on.
Hi. I'm having a problem with my email. Everything was running really fine. My ISP is through GoDaddy.
Okay.
And all of a sudden yesterday, no, maybe it was the day before, I was barraged with spam. I mean, like, I'm talking, I got 1,000 emails on Monday and probably 5,000 yesterday and another 1,000 this morning. They're all obviously just junk mail. They're, you know, thank you for going to this website. This is your password. Please go. And there's a link, which obviously I'm not going to do it. But the problem is that I have been highlighting them, moving them into my junk folder, hopeful that eventually I'll get enough of them over there that I won't see them anymore. But I don't know how to stop it.
So you use GoDaddy as your hosting company, I guess. Is that correct, Melanie?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I am not aware of any issues over at GoDaddy. They generally do a good job at filtering out all the emails, all the junk emails that come in. Did you maybe at some point accidentally disable the mail filtering at GoDaddy, and that's why you're getting all the spam emails?
No, I didn't. I have forgotten my password with GoDaddy, so I can't change anything there.
Ah, okay. You know, I would definitely give GoDaddy a call because, like I said, normally the spam filter is built into it, and they will filter out all these thousands of spam mails every day for you. And, you know, so I'm not aware of any system-wide issues at GoDaddy. None of my clients have reported that. We use GoDaddy quite a bit as well. So I will give them a call and see if maybe the option is checked off.
Okay. Melanie, thank you so much for the call. The number to call, 1-800-348-2551. If you have a question for Tony Yang, let's go to Tom in Manchester. Are you in Manchester, New Hampshire, or Manchester, Vermont?
Vermont.
Okay, you're on.
I had an experience about a month ago with ransomware, and I think I resolved it fairly quickly. I just intuitively clicked off the internet, but I was following a political link, and on the sidebar of one, I think it was originally a Facebook source, there was another, like, Trump response to somebody or Hillary or something, and I clicked it, and then I got this pop-up that had a countdown thing, and it said, warning, your computer is infected with, or there's illegal material on it, and you have to, and as soon as I saw that, I just shut the internet off. And the computer's worked fine since. I haven't used it in a few weeks because I've been using my tablet, so I'm kind of interesting to see if I have problems with Windows 10. But I don't know if I did the right thing, or do you think I'll have a problem?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. You did the exact thing that you should have done, which is to not click on it. But you can. I think you're. It sounds to me like you're safe to continue using your computer. These websites pop up. They actually are not scanning your computer. They're just trying to scare you.
Yeah, it's not really ransomware. This is just a scare tactic.
That's right. And what they're trying to do is to get you to click on it so that the software can infect your computer.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is not touch it.
Cool.
Right.
Good job.
Very good job.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. Now, speaking of the ransomware,
yes.
This was a topic in the last show that went on and on and on. And so,
yep.
If you can set it up for us, those who weren't listening last month,
okay.
It was terrifying.
That's right. I was very, very perplexed because the sequence, we're IT guys like myself are trained to think logically.
Because like Mr. Spock.
The steps of how things happen really tells us a lot.
Okay.
So my impression was that somehow these guys had
the hackers.
The hackers had your computers infected first, and then they know exactly where your computer is and what your phone number is, and then they subsequently call the number, with your computer already infected.
Right, and so we had
that
several
calls.
That
was not the sequence.
We had several calls, and that was the gist of the, that was the way you and I both saw
That's right.
But then some further investigation.
Yep. So I went and looked and figured out that the sequence is these guys are calling people randomly.
Right.
And what they do is they actually will tell you to go to a website that they own and click on a link, which then downloads the software to infect your computer. So the sequence is flipped around, and that makes more sense.
That is frightening.
Don't do that. If somebody calls you on the phone and have you click on the go to a website, don't do it.
But you know what? It's not as frightening as the way that it was portrayed in the last show.
Oh, yes, because if it was the other way around, that means these guys have a database that contains your phone numbers, and they're targeting you specifically. That's like a whole new level.
Yeah, and that'll happen eventually.
That will happen eventually, yeah. But I'm not aware of a widespread problem with that.
All right, back to the phones we go. Barbara in Kingston. Barbara.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
So I just switched to Windows 10 from Windows 8,
yeah.
And I could be writing an email, and then I might inadvertently hit a button, and I lose a sentence or a paragraph, and there's no undo button available for me to get that back.
Now, what are you using to do your email?
Gmail.
Are you using Gmail?
Yes.
Okay. On Gmail, there should be a backwards arrow or undo menu on there that will allow you to get whatever you erase back.
Yeah. Can't find it.
Can you right-click in the message area and see if...
Yeah. I used to be able to right-click, and there was a word undo,
yeah.
and I could bring back, but there's no word undo anymore with Windows 10.
What browser are you using?
Edge.
What browser?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Microsoft Edge. That's the one that's built into it, and that's probably where the problem comes from, too, is some of the menus are not getting interpreted properly.
Can I get rid of Edge?
You don't have to get rid of it. You can get another one.
Right. You can download Firefox. Firefox seems to work with Gmail okay. So you can use Firefox or the Google Chrome,
which
is another
choice.
Or you can use Safari made by Apple. So you have several different other flavors.
And they're all free downloads.
That's right. These are all free. I would try one of those and see if you have better luck with that.
Also, I lost my Facebook link. I get messages from Facebook friends, and I click on them, but I have to log in every time. I used to be able to automatically click onto Facebook.
Yeah, a lot of these things are symptoms of the Microsoft Edge browser, unfortunately.
Hmm. I'll replace it then.
I'm sure that they're going to fix it at some point.
Yeah.
You just have to be a little patient and wait for Microsoft to release those patches. For now, Firefox and Chrome and Safari are probably some of the other choices that's better fit for your use.
Barbara, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Myrna in Poughkeepsie. Hi, Myrna, you're on.
Hi. I'm having a problem with System Restore.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I used to use it. I'm still on Windows 7 PC. And all of a sudden, I get the same message every time I try it, and I'll read it to you.
Mm-hmm.
System Restore did not complete successfully. Your computer system files and settings were not changed. System Restore could not access the file. This is probably because an antivirus program is running on the computer. Now, let me just tell you, mm-hmm. I have disabled it, as it says here. Temporarily disable your antivirus program and retry System Restore.
Yeah.
And I've done that. Still doesn't work. And then it says, an unspecified error occurred during System Restore, parentheses, 0x800705, close parentheses.
Yeah.
And I've tried different restore points, and I've disabled the antivirus, and nothing seems to work.
Okay, so you actually have several different restore points that you tried, and none of them are working.
None.
Yeah. And, this is one of the things that I think a lot of users could benefit from knowing this, and that is that restore points is not a guarantee thing when you have issues on your computer. I mean, it works most of the time, but there have been many instances that we've come across where the restore points just do not work, and they produce the exact symptoms that you're describing. And unfortunately, there isn't a whole lot that you can do about that. It is not because of your antivirus program. I think in rare cases that could be the case, but you've already tried disabling it and it's still not working. So what it comes down to is these restore files at some point that you created have gotten corrupted, or whatever it's trying to restore is incompatible with the newer set of softwares that's on your system. So you got some type of incompatibility problem.
I wonder, Tony, if it might behoove Myrna to temporarily take the computer offline and turn off the system restore and do a full virus scan. Is it possible that the virus, oftentimes when you get a virus, you got to turn off that restore point to get rid of it fully. And I wonder if there is maybe a virus in there.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is a possibility, Ray. Here's another thing that you might want to try, and that is go do the restore inside safe mode and see if that helps.
Brilliant.
Or the other thing is go into safe mode and actually disable the antivirus service itself so you can be 100% sure that that's not creating a problem.
You know, that's an interesting point. I have not had to try this yet on either my work machine, Windows 7, or a home machine. Yeah. Can you go into safe mode in these new versions?
You can. It's a little trickier than XP Pro back then. But yes, you can get into it.
Fascinating.
You still have that option in Windows 8, even 10, actually.
All right, let's go to the phones quickly here. Cindy in Syracuse. Hi, Cindy, you're on. You got to turn your radio down there, Cindy. Okay, you're gone. Sorry about that. Marianne in Albany.
Hi, I have a very old computer, and I have Windows 7. And on my email, I have a terrible time. I keep getting these pop-ups on the side, mm-hmm. and it interferes when I'm writing a message. I have to wait for that pop-up to settle before I can continue what I'm writing. Do you have any idea what I could do about that?
What are you using for your email, Marianne?
Yahoo.
Yahoo, okay. So you're on a web page, and that's... That's very, you know, typical. That's a typical indication of just malware that's infected your computer that has these pop-ups on the side whenever you try to go onto the internet. I would just do a scan on the computer and get it all cleaned out. Probably run the scan 2-3 times. With whatever anti-malware software you have on your computer, and see if that fixes the problem. Other times you might want to uninstall the toolbar. That's for your browser and your computer, and that may solve the problem as well.
Marianne, we're just about out of time here, but thank you for the call. Very quickly here in the last minute or so, minute and a half here, Tony, a couple from email. This one is from Joe, who says, if I create a document in Word for Mac, yeah. Burn it to a CD, will it then open properly and function normally on a PC?
Yes. Actually, Word documents are compatible through different platforms.
So Word for Mac will work if you... Yep. Bring that document to a PC, it'll open in Word as well.
Yeah, Word is very, very good at converting other documents too, not just Word.
All right, I don't know if I can get through this whole question. This is from Hatsy in Deering, New Hampshire. It's about monitors. It's mm-hmm. a long question.
Okay.
All right, we'll give it a shot here. The short story, she says, with 12 paragraphs. How about Asus VX228H monitor? I assume I want a really hot monitor as if I were a gamer, but hoping to stay under $200. Is IPS really better than TN? And what else should I worry about? I have no idea what I just read. Do you have any idea?
I think she's talking about the IPS touchscreens.
Ah, I see.
So touchscreens are nice because Windows 8.1 and Windows 10 are designed to be on touchscreen.
Even Windows 10, I know Windows 8 was.
Yeah, Windows 10 has still retained some of that touchscreen
sort of tablet functionality.
That's right. It's sort of like a true hybrid these days with the start menu built in, but also the tablet functions. Yeah, I like Asus monitors. I think they're good. Actually, generally, Asus is a very, very good company.
Yeah.
They produce some of the best hardwares that you can buy for PCs.
And decent value. I've got one, too.
And decent value, yeah.
Yeah, nice one. Yep. And there are many more paragraphs to Hatsy's email involving model numbers and things. Hatsy, I apologize. We're done. We're out of time. Tony Yang, well done, sir.
Thank you, Ray. That was fun.
Nice to have you here, and nice to have everybody call in. Support comes from Albany Realty Group, a local woman-owned real estate company since 2003, educating and counseling sellers and buyers throughout the real estate transaction, albanyrealtygroup.com.
The Nature Conservancy's Adirondack chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers, nature.org/Adirondacks. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive media displays, and commercial casework for corporate interiors, museum installations, and trade shows, empireexhibits.com. And Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. Ashfieldstone.com. Thanks again to Tony Yang for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy for manning the controls. Your phones were answered by Bruce Herbach, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned for news.